The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Susan Dellinger from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, February 2020, Volume 21, Number 2. And this is the second of four installments. On the cover, Oprah sits on a tall director's chair with her name stenciled in white on the black canvas strap. She's sitting sideways, looking at us from over her right shoulder, with her arm draped across the back and her legs over the chair's arm. She's wearing a sparkling silver sequined clingy long dress with sparkling silver stilettos. Her hair is smooth and long and pulled back from her forehead and face. This month's headline is What I Know For Sure About Love. And we'll start off this second installment with The World According to Gail. And in the upper right-hand corner, there's a picture of Gail. She's sitting in a bright floral dress on a cream sofa, sort of beige sofa. And across from her, sitting on another beige sofa, are Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston. There's a window behind them with a New York City skyline in the background. And under the heading Buy, Gail says, it's always fun to find a shoe that perfectly matches a dress you already own. That's what happened to me when I discovered Sarah Flint's latest line. The designer's goal is to create footwear that's both beautiful and walkable, which is why she offers her pumps in three heel heights. Thank you, Sarah. I thought her collection was great, and that was before I heard Meghan Markle and Lady Gaga liked it too. I wore my matchy-matchy look to a recent interview with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. One of their first questions, where did you get those shoes? And they are $425 from sarahflint.com. So I was describing Gail's dress, which is a shift dress with three-quarter length sleeves, black background, and it has these bright red, pink, yellow, and kind of periwinkle blue sort of cabbage rose-looking flowers, big flowers. They're about 3 or 4 inches across. And then the shoes are a black pump with a real skinny, tall heel, and they are embellished with little three-dimensional, like little flowers sitting on top right across the toe of the shoe, and they are red, blue, and yellow on little green leaves. In the left-hand top of the page, under the heading C, Gail's description is, as if Jamie Foxx and Michael B. Jordan sharing the big screen for the first time weren't compelling enough, the story they're telling is riveting and important. Based on the memoir by lawyer and criminal justice crusader Brian Vinson, played by Michael, the film Just Mercy chronicles one of Brian's first cases, in which he tries to exonerate Walter McMillan, that'd be Jamie, a wrongfully convicted death row prisoner. Despite being ridiculed and threatened, Brian never abandons his belief that each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. I couldn't agree more, says Gail. And the picture from the film is set in a prison break room, and the prisoner is in khaki long sleeve shirt and pants, kind of a uniform looking attire, and then the lawyer is in a very businesslike gray suit. Under the heading Listen, we have the picture of an album, and it has a band standing in the foreground against a dark sky, a shooting star, and a sun that's setting just outside of the view of the picture. Gail says, I'm embarrassed to admit I was very late to the I Love Little Big Town party. I found out about the country group in 2014 when they released their chart topper, Girl Crush, and I've had a crush ever since. Bonus, they're as nice as they are talented, as I learned when I met them. So I was thrilled to hear the quartet was releasing a ninth album, Nightfall. The band said they'd been looking for a new creative horizon, and boy, did they find it with these 13 cinematic songs. Now they're hitting the road with dates at iconic venues from Denver's Paramount Theater to New York's Carnegie Hall. And you know I'll be there. In the lower right-hand corner of the page, we have pictures of J-Lo holding a microphone, and she's in this sparkly, silvery mini dress with all these cutouts, sexy cutouts. And then there's a picture of Shakira, and she's in this midnight blue, almost like a bodysuit with swimsuit legs. So you see her thighs beneath fringe, and she's got on boots. She's holding a microphone as well. So these pictures are taken from their concerts. Tune in is the heading. Lots of people watch the Super Bowl for the game, says Gail. But this year, I suspect many of us will be glued to the couch for the halftime show, co-headlined by Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. J-Lo called it a dream come true, especially because she'll share the stage with another Latina. The duo has been tight-lipped about the performance, but I expect a medley of their hits. Eye-catching costumes and dance moves only those two can pull off. The question is, which surprise artists will join the superstars? Pitbull? Gloria Estefan? We'll find out February 2nd. And finally, under the heading Eat, we're looking down at a plate that has some tacos on it. One of the most important ingredients for an unforgettable family vacation? Delicious food you can't get at home, which is exactly what I had when I brought 16 family members to Mexico's Rosewood Mayacobo Resort for Thanksgiving. The crowd favorite was the Baja-style fish tacos made with light-as-air fried fish, red onion, shredded red cabbage, lime juice, and fresh cilantro. There were three per order, so they were perfect for sharing, except no one wanted to. Trust me. It's better just to order your own. And on the first page of Live Your Best Life, the photograph is of two little girls, long blonde hair, wearing little jersey knit dresses and in flip-flops, and it's nighttime, and they're holding up a Chinese floating paper lantern. So it's about 3 or 4 feet tall, so that would make it about 2.5, maybe 3 feet across the bottom of it. And of course, these have a fire somehow or another magically suspended in the balloon, and they're holding it up, getting ready to let go of it for it to float away. And the quote is from George Sand, and it says, "It is high time that we had lights that are not incendiary torches." And now let's look at the high five, a whole handful of things to cheer about this month. And first off, we have a colorful picture under the water of brightly colored coral and brightly colored tropical fish. The heading is Siren Song. This recent scientific innovation is making lots of noise. A team of researchers in Australia discovered that playing recordings via underwater speakers of snapping shrimp, chirping fish, and other sounds of thriving coral reefs can lure community-building species back to dying ecosystems and potentially speed their recovery. Let's get loud. And then we have a picture from a TV series called Shrill. It looks like it's set in the 1970s, and we have this young woman in the foreground in a yellow and green flower dress, and she's got her hand resting on a countertop, and there are roller skates up there, and it looks like this is a room where people are putting their roller skates on. The heading is Can You Hear Her Now? Online Troll Vanquisher, Boss Teller Offer, Sad Sack Boyfriend Straightener Outer, Annie Easton, played by Adie Bryant with equal parts edge and charm, earned all of those valiant titles in season one of Shrill, Hulu's crackling adaptation of Lindy West's memoir. But Annie's life is still far from conflict-free, so expect more run-ins with and takedowns of fat shamers and fights with her mom when season two premieres January 2nd. And our third of our five items, we've got a picture of a robot here. And the robot, which has kind of a rectangular head, its eyes are pink and the little lights are in the shape of hearts. Its arm is being held up and the clamp at the end is holding a plastic bag that is full of bandages. Emergency vroom is the heading. Everything hospital nurses do is valuable, but some tasks, dropping off specimens for analysis, delivering fresh linens, aren't necessarily the ideal use of their skills or time. Enter Moxie, a robot that can be programmed to perform tedious tasks without being asked and flash heart eyes at patients so nurses can get on with doing what they do best, nursing. And next we have a photograph of a cheerful-looking gray-haired woman, and her hair is cut very short and what, when I was growing up, was called a pixie. And she's got on some snazzy earrings and a black dress, and she's against a brightly colored backdrop of a painted scene on a brick wall. And then there's an inset of a bride. Let's see. Mother figure of the bride is the heading. When Oklahoma resident Sarah Cunningham began officiating same-sex weddings, she was heartbroken by the number of parents who refused to attend their child's big day. So she posted a Facebook message offering to be a stand-in mom at any LGBTQ marriage ceremony, near or far. Since then, she's provided motherly support at 10 weddings, with 5 more already scheduled, and inspired hundreds of other willing pseudo-parents to step up and stand in. What's not to love? And finally, Stranger Things. Some families proudly magnet children's drawings to the fridge. Father of 2 Tom Curtis would rather turn his son's doodles, people with 4 rows of teeth, anatomically bizarro animals, into photoshopped, uncannily real-looking pictures. View the goofy gallery and submit your kid's artwork on his Instagram account at Things I Have Drawn. And there's a picture of his son's artwork in the foreground, and it's a marker, green marker, that has, well, it's a bird with its head turned, but and it has these long, skinny wings, look like saw teeth on the bottom for the feathers, and then kind of large webbed feet hanging down. So that's just in green and white. And what Dad has done is he has taken this, turned it into something that's a bit like a puffin. So it has black wings, a white body, an orange beak, and orange webbed feet. And he's put it against a fuzzy but real background of a rocky coastline. So green ocean, blue sky. Our celebrity in My Best Life this month is the alluring Katrina Balfe, who plays Claire Fraser on Starz's feverishly popular time-hopping romantic drama Outlander, returning February 16th for Season 5 on What She Can't Live Without. And Claire is wearing a black top with a little jewel neckline, and it's sleeveless. And she's actually Irish, as she has kind of a pale complexion. Short brunette hair, cut in kind of a bob. It's pulled back and just comes right below her jawline. And she's got a bit of a smoky eye makeup for her gray eyes. So what she can't live without? Music. She says, when I'm having a really bad day, there's nothing like getting in the car, taking a drive, and blaring music. It's dependent on mood, but I do like my punk rock if I need to vent. Other days, it's Nina Simone, or one of my favorites, Kate Bush. Another thing she can't live without, my passport. I never leave home without it. I think because I moved from Ireland when I was 18 and have since lived abroad, there's a weird part of me that often thinks, what if there's an emergency? So I always need to be able to leave at a moment's notice, and I've never left it behind. Though now that I've said that, I probably will. Another thing she can't live without, potatoes. They'd be my desert island food pick, even though I've eaten them nearly every day of my life. They're just so versatile. You can fry them, boil them, roast them, turn them into crisps, or chips, as you guys call them here. I don't think I'd ever get bored. Another thing she can't do without, my leather biker jacket. During Outlander's first season, I bought an obscenely expensive leather jacket, but I've worn it so much that if you break down the cost per wear, it's the most economically sensible thing I've ever done. I don't tend to splurge because I have an Irish mother who sits on my shoulder when I shop and says things like, "You don't need that." But for that purchase, I managed to shut her up. And one more thing that she can't do without, and she says, my girlfriends. I have a solid crew of amazing women who are my go-to mentors. I'm constantly inspired by them. Whatever issue I have, they each help me solve different problems in my life. Sorry, husband. For more on Outlander, head to oprahmag.com/Outlander. Let's head now to the Let's Eat section. And the first page, against kind of a gray backdrop, is a plethora of dried beans, from kidney beans to great white northerns and lots of colors in between. And it says in a sidebar here, they really are a magical fruit. University of Oxford and University of Minnesota researchers recently named legumes, including beans, one of the top five foods for reducing the risk of coronary heart disease. And Oprah says, my farm to your table, dried beans. Rattlesnake, scarlet runner, fava. We grow a rainbow of beans and dehydrate them to keep on hand all year. They may not be super sexy on their own, but they're an easy, meat-free way to amp up the texture of stew, pasta, even toast. I also love that their protein and fiber fill you up, and their subtly starchy flavor is oh so satisfying. And when we turn the page, we have a picture here of Oprah holding up a platter. Now, she's in her kitchen. She's in an orange top with her hair long and very curly. And you can see baskets sitting on a shelf and this elegant white kitchen behind her with stainless steel appliances. She says, beans add a surprising savory twist to this bruschetta, which makes a wonderful appetizer for entertaining or a snack just for you. And there's a picture here of these great white northerns nestled on steamed green leafy vegetable. There's something white and creamy under that, and then toasted bread under that. Chef Raymond's Great Northern Bean Bruschetta. This makes about 16 slices for a total time of 3 to 4 hours plus soaking. And here are the ingredients. 1 pound of Great Northern Beans soaked in cold water overnight. 1 carrot peeled and cut in half crosswise. 1 yellow onion quartered. 1 celery stalk quartered. 7 garlic cloves, 3 chopped, divided. 1 bay leaf. Leaves of 1 bunch of thyme, leaves of 1 rosemary sprig, 2 teaspoons of cayenne pepper, 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, kosher salt, extra virgin olive oil, ground black pepper, 3 ounces herbed goat cheese, crumbled, divided, 1 loaf of seeded sourdough bread, 1 pound of baby spinach, 1 tablespoon of chopped parsley, plus more for garnish. And here are the instructions. Drain the beans, reserving water in a medium stock pot. Bring to a boil, skimming off any foam. Add beans, carrot, onion, celery, 4 whole garlic cloves, bay leaf, herbs, cayenne, and cumin, ensuring everything is covered by at least 1 inch of water. Bring to a simmer and cook, covered, stirring occasionally on low heat until beans are tender, 2 to 3 hours. Add salt to taste and gently stir. Remove vegetables and puree in food processor until smooth. Add half of puree back to beans. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. Let beans cool to room temperature. Then add 1 cup beans and liquid to food processor. Puree until smooth. Then stir in 1 ounce of goat cheese and set aside. Bake the bread for 10 minutes and let cool. Cut into 1-inch thick slices, drizzle with olive oil, and season with salt and black pepper to taste. Grill on medium-high until golden brown, 2 to 3 minutes. In a large skillet over medium-high heat, Heat 1 tablespoon of olive oil and saute chopped garlic about 30 seconds, being careful not to burn. Add spinach and cook until wilted 3 to 5 minutes. Season with salt and pepper to taste, remove from heat, and place on a clean kitchen towel to absorb excess liquid. Place whole beans from a pot on a large plate. Top with parsley, a drizzle of olive oil, and salt and pepper to taste. Spread bean puree on bread. Top with spinach, cooked beans, and remaining goat cheese. Garnish with olive oil and parsley and serve. And here are some fresh tips from Oprah's top chef, Raymond Weber. Hold off on adding salt or acidic ingredients like lemon or vinegar until beans are almost done. They can slow the cooking process. For barbecue flair with no animal products, add a shake or two of liquid smoke to your beans. And finally, a slow simmer makes for a prettier presentation. It's the key to preventing shriveling and split skins. Let's go to the special feature section of the magazine now and read, just for Valentine's Day, How We Met. Through a cheating boyfriend, while baking cookies amid deep grief, 11 grateful souls tell us how their beloveds, BFFs, or long-lost siblings entered their lives in the most unusual and stirring ways. And we start off with Dunk in Love. At 16, Sean Ordu left Germany for suburban Georgia and found the girl of his hoop dreams. And there's a picture of him. He has kind of strawberry blonde hair with a short beard, a little bit like, well, Prince Harry. He's wearing a black jacket and a red bow tie. And the girl of his dreams is in a kind of pale peachy pink floral dress, and she's holding a parasol, and her blonde hair is pulled behind her. He says, I grew up in Germany, and everything I knew about the United States came from watching films. So when I spent a year here in 2006 as part of a student exchange program and landed in Georgia, I thought the movie American Pie had come to life. The high school had lockers, cheerleaders, and football captains. The town, Warner Robins, had an Air Force base, a Krispy Kreme. Everything was new to me. I remember getting excited about making hot dogs on a George Foreman grill. Basketball was my obsession. I played almost every day in gym class, where I quickly earned a reputation as the German kid who could shoot. Eventually, I asked a buddy where I could play in my neighborhood. He said, walk 3 houses down, knock on the door, be all Germany, and ask to use their hoop. They'll say yes, and you'll get to meet a hot girl who lives there. That's how I started hanging out with Sarah. I was drawn to her right away. In Germany, some teenage girls don't want to seem too innocent anymore, so they start smoking and dressing like they're 25. Sarah was just her beautiful and authentic self. When I moved back to Germany, we spoke on the phone every day. We spent the next several years in a long-distance relationship. Travel was a big part of our lives. We visited places throughout Germany, as well as Vienna, Istanbul, Key West, and Savannah. In 2014, when Sarah began a master's program in Chicago, I decided to move there too. We finally got to experience the beauty of everyday life together. Sarah and I got engaged 2 Christmases ago in front of her old house in Warner Robins. The new owners hadn't kept the hoop, but it was the right place to propose, even though it had been the wrong place years ago. It turns out my friend was mistaken, and I was supposed to walk 4 houses down, not 3. And with the heading smooth sailing during a trip abroad, Marcy Fine's ship came in. We have a picture of a brunette with long silky hair, cuddled up next to a balding guy, youngish, with a black sweater, and they have a picture of a cruise ship underneath. My cousin and her father treated me to a Mediterranean cruise when I was 29. I loved meeting new people as much as I loved seeing new places. Making fast friends is my superpower. I met Bob first. He was in the ship's computer lab struggling to sign on to his AOL account. I offered to help. The next day, I disembarked for an excursion in Delos, Greece, and there was Bob, now with his wife, Marcia, both in their 50s. I snapped a few photos for them, and we got to talking. They were silly and young at heart, and during the next excursion, I learned they lived in Cleveland and had two sons. When the cruise ended, we exchanged numbers. 3 years later, during one of our every few months check-ins, I told Marcia I was visiting family in D.C. She said, "That's where our son Todd lives." I wasn't sure he'd want to hang out with the random girl his mom and dad met on a cruise, but we got together over drinks and had a great time. Todd was charming and attentive. He made me feel special. Then it was back to Bob and Marcia. They visited me in Chicago. I stayed with them in Cleveland and even slept in Todd's childhood bedroom where I checked out some school pictures. His handsome face, topped with a bit more hair than he currently had, made the butterflies I'd felt that first night return. I wanted to see him again. I went back to D.C. and asked him to dinner. After our meal, he confessed he was weirded out by my history with his parents. I said, "They were my friends first." But then I realized I had to make a choice. Bob and Marcia, or me and Todd? 5 years later, we were solid enough for me to reconnect with Marcia and Bob. And after our wedding in 2012, held on his parents' anniversary, Marcia shared what she first thought when we met in Greece. "I really want her for Todd." And now we have another one here, Almost Friends. Stephanie Springer and her bestie are making up for lost time. In the 1980s, two girls were raised in a small Midwestern community. They took dance lessons at the same studio, attended the same Girl Scouts, mall sleepover, and went to the same church. But they never crossed paths until 2011, when my family moved in across the street from Jesse's on a cul-de-sac in a Denver suburb, more than 500 miles from where we grew up. The first time she came over, our conversation quickly went from hesitant to peppy when I said something about having grown up in Sioux City, Iowa. Jesse gawked at me in disbelief. During elementary school, she lived about 15 minutes away from me across the river in Sioux City, Nebraska. It got stranger. Our birthdays were 2 weeks apart, and we'd spent 3 years teaching at the same community center without ever interacting. Now, I can't imagine life without her. Together, Jesse and I have raised kids, changed careers, grieved, hosted barbecues, and toasted our 40th birthdays. Whenever I question the order of the universe, I remember it brought me to Jesse, the childhood best friend I never knew I had. And now under the heading Leap of Faith, an early blunder didn't stop Kirsten Chang from landing a real minch. And there's a little Star of David beside this one. As a freshman adapting to life at New York University, I went to an icebreaker activity in my dorm. It was a game of human bingo. Instead of numbers, the squares on our cards said things like, "Find someone who's a twin." When you did, you asked that person to initial their square. I saved the hardest one for last. "Find someone who's Jewish." How was I supposed to know that? I was one signature away from victory, but thought I had no chance until my friend gestured toward a guy he knew walking down the stairs and said he could help me. In the heat of the moment, I ran up to the guy and yelled "Jewish" right in his face and was instantly mortified. "Yes, can I help you?" he said. I apologized profusely and explained, and he reluctantly initialed my card. I remembered his name, Evan, because I planned to make it up to him. A few weeks later, I ran into him and his friend heading toward the dining hall, and Evan invited me to join them. We had a natural connection, no awkward pauses, just total comfort. We both loved puzzles and bonded while he taught me how to solve a Rubik's Cube. 10 years later, we're happily married. Evan's favorite thing to tell people? She had me at Jewish. The next heading is Getting Warmer with a Mitten. A faulty oven led Mary Takuma to a sweet surprise. So let's look what's under this oven mitt. In 2013, my sister and I were living in a crappy apartment with painted shut kitchen drawers and a bum oven that made it hard for me to bake cookies for the office holiday party. The building was mostly families, but my sister had just met our downstairs neighbors, grad students at UCLA, and I figured they wouldn't mind if I hung around and baked one evening. Plus, I knew they played Mario Kart at night, which didn't scream serial killer to me. Gabe answered the door. My first thought, he looks normal. My second thought, those dimples. Small talk eventually turned to football, and we learned we both played in a fantasy league. We'd also both drafted Maurice Jones-Drew, a running back on the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they sucked that year. But Jones-Drew scored a touchdown that night, and the Jaguars won. 4 months later, we got drunk while watching Friday Night Lights, and I asked Gabe if he wanted to franchise tag me. A football expression for when a team takes a player off the market to work out a long-term deal. We celebrated our first wedding anniversary in October. The next heading is Puppy Love. A sick dog almost broke Susan Alexander's heart until the right surgeon fixed everything. In February 2000, I was in my 40s, living in Montana, and launching my practice as an interventional cardiologist. My 8-week-old golden retriever, Chase, was my best friend. I protected him from bald eagles that stalked him on walks. He ate the stuffing out of my couch. A shortage of available age-appropriate men, plus my increasingly low bullshit threshold, made for a sparse dating pool. Outside of work, my life revolved around him. After I accepted a new job in Spokane a year later, Chase became ill. My Frisbee jumper could barely breathe. 10 specialists diagnosed everything from aseptic meningitis to lupus, and after 6 months, I was told it was time to consider letting him go. That's when a radiologist called with a new diagnosis, a torn diaphragm. It was fixable, and he had just the doctor to fix it. I met Howard the next morning. He was handsome and wearing a tie printed with golden retrievers. As we bent over Chase, our heads touched, which sent a shock through me. When he mentioned being divorced, my heart leapt. 2 weeks later, Howard offered to come to my house to remove Chase's sutures, despite knowing I could do it myself. 2 years after that, we got married, with Chase leading me down the aisle. And now, Modern Family. Sonia Watt and Vanessa Evelyn found each other just in time. Sonia Watt. My dad and I were chatting one day when he suddenly took a picture out of a cabinet. "Who's that?" I asked. He said, "This is my other daughter, Vanessa," he said. The girl in the photo looked more like my dad than I do. I was astounded. I was 28 years old, and I'd never heard of this person. I asked where she was, but after splitting from Vanessa's mom, he'd never been able to find her. Vanessa Evelyn says, "I looked for him my whole life. I called every Watt in the phone book. I messaged strangers on Facebook. I even used his surname on social media, hoping a relative would see it." Sonia says, "Then in 2018, 2 decades after I learned about Vanessa, our dad got sick, and I thought, we have to find her. I went online, typed in her name, and found images of a woman doing someone's makeup. I saw Vanessa's face, and I knew, that's her. I got an email address from the site, wrote a message explaining who I was, and nervously hit send." Vanessa says, "It said Sonia was my sister, and our 83-year-old dad was looking for me. I responded, 'I beg you not to play with me. My heart can't take it.' Sonia asked where I lived. I told her I had just moved back to London in an area called Wood Green. Sonia, I thought, as in Wood Green, where I live?" Vanessa. We were 8 minutes down the road from each other. I hopped on my bike and rode there. Sonia and I hugged and walked right into each other's lives like we'd known each other forever. Sonia, I was filled with gratitude and excitement. Finally, Vanessa got to embrace our dad. It was overwhelming to see them together, but a lot has happened since then. In September, Vanessa was diagnosed with an incurable form of uterine cancer. Vanessa, we've grown even closer these last few months. Sonia has been my caretaker, washing me, feeding me. No one has cared for me this way before. Sonia, I love my sister. I'd do anything for her. Vanessa, throughout my life, I've grown used to people loving and then abandoning me. I was often just waiting for the end. With Sonia, in walked a brand new beginning. The next heading is damage control. Lauren's ex-boyfriend was terrible in every way except one. Feel free to ignore this, but I think we might both be idiots. That was my initial email to Nicole. She responded immediately, asking to meet for drinks. I had 3 hours to figure out what to say to the woman who'd been dating the same man as me for the past year. Not in a cool, non-monogamous way, just some good old-fashioned infidelity. I didn't know what to expect. Would I be yelled at? Cried on? Presented with an oversized check? In 2012, I'd arrived in New York City knowing no one and moved into a 10-by-10 basement apartment when an eager suitor suddenly swept into my life, a man in his 30s with a tattoo of a broken heart. I wasn't discerning. I wanted something to build a new life around. The relationship devolved into a toxic 90-10 energy split, with me expending the 90. Yet if I admitted it was going nowhere, all my efforts would feel like a big waste, so I stuck around. While I felt increasingly isolated in the relationship, he maintained an active social life, which included hangouts with his definitely platonic friend Nicole. He never hesitated to tell me about her, but increasingly improbable excuses prevented us from meeting. I started checking her social media, not only because I was suspicious, but also because I'd learned she was a comic artist and her comics were great. Her life looked big and full. Mine felt small and doomed. The day I saw her comic about two characters who were unmistakably her and him, I summoned the nerve to send Nicole that email. We met up the same night and began exchanging war stories. Talking with her was much better than talking with him. Nicole and I instantly combined friend groups and even went to create a book together. After my year in a pit of despair, she was a reminder of how healthy relationships were supposed to feel. The void left in the aftermath of romantic destruction was filled with fun. Of course, the way I found Nicole was painful, but would I do it again, knowing it opened up my life to her? Absolutely. And the next one is called The Height Stuff. For Elliot Alter, finding the right girl turned out to be a tall order. Elliot writes, when I moved to Hartford in 1960 after 3 years in the Air Force, a cousin of mine gave me a number and told me to ask for a girl named Hava. I thought, I know how these fix-ups usually go, but I was interested in dating, so I called. A woman answered and said Hava wasn't home. Before she hung up, though, she asked, how tall are you? I told her 6'2". She said, you want to take out my other daughter, Susan? When Susan came to the door the next weekend, I was tongue-tied. She was 6 feet and gorgeous. I figured she'd had her pick of guys, so I didn't call again, but I couldn't stop thinking about her. 2 months later, I gave it another shot. We had a picnic along the Farmington River. After a few more dates, Susan's mother told me, maybe let Hava go out with him. Susan's response, I'm marrying that guy. We got engaged 6 months later. The next one is called Madeline About You. When Viveka Bathekadu lost the sister she adored, she could never have imagined what she'd find. And this is our last How We Met story. In 2014, my sister Madeline was in a bar in Virginia watching the World Cup when a guy asked if he could sit next to her. His name was Sisse, and he was an airline pilot. Their conversation eventually turned to Madeline's breast cancer. Sisse's mom had died of breast cancer. He'd moved her from Ethiopia, where he grew up, to the U.S. for treatment and cared for her the whole time. He and Madeline exchanged info. The next day, she happened to text that she was getting a flat tire replaced. Sisse wrote back, "I would have changed it." From then on, all I heard about was Madeline's new friend. One Sunday, Sisse called me in New York and said Madeline was walking funny, so he was taking her to the ER. When I got to the hospital at 2 a.m., he radiated the calm confidence of someone who flies jets. By the next day, I told my sister I loved him, even though I'd just met him, even though I was in a relationship. The day after that, we learned the cancer had spread to her brain. It became clear Madeline needed to return home to New York. Of course, Sisse drove her, which was part of Madeline's grand scheme to bring Sisse to me, to bring us together. When they arrived, my boyfriend and I were eating with my family. Madeline dragged me into a bedroom and asked, "Why is your boyfriend here with the man you're going to marry? Get your work done." I ended the relationship a few days later. Madeline died September 11, 2015. When I called Sisse, he said, "I felt that she had." She was his best friend, he told me. A few months later, Sisse and I had dinner. He asked if I'd be his girlfriend. It was so sweet and formal. We got married a little over a year later. I often think of our story as a fairy tale. Something catastrophic happened, but it led to a happy ending. And next we have this regular part of the magazine, which is called Where Are You Going? And it's a two-page picture. And in this case, it's a woman of African-American descent with her hair pulled tightly back in a ponytail. And she's sitting in a car and she's pointing. She's got nice polished nails and a khaki-colored conservative blazer. And she's wearing sunglasses. Kimberly Motley, attorney. Kimberly says, "I grew up in Milwaukee's housing projects. As a child, I'd see police stop and frisk people for no reason. The injustice weighed on me, but I didn't know the laws. I just knew it wasn't right. After 5 years as a public defender, I was ready for a big change and enrolled in a 12-month program mentoring attorneys in Afghanistan. During the two-week training, we learned plenty of unexpected skills. Hand-to-hand combat, how to fire a gun, how to drive an armored car. I wanted to understand the Afghan court system, so I went to see cases being tried. In the first one I observed, the defendant was found guilty of terrorism following a 5-minute trial, with the word trial in quotes, based on non-existent evidence and a forced confession he signed after being beaten. It disturbed me so much how the law could be distorted and abused. To learn about inmates' experiences pre-court, I started visiting prisons. In one, I met two English-speaking men from the UK and South Africa who didn't even know their charges because their trials were conducted in Farsi. I wasn't supposed to represent any clients, but the men handed me documents and said, 'No one is helping us, please.' So I stuffed the papers in my backpack. I was able to get both of them released. Then other foreigners and Afghans approached me, like women who'd been arrested for, quote, moral crimes, end of quote. They'd been raped, then charged with adultery. I took their cases pro bono. Soon human rights cases made up 30% of my workload. When my program was finished, I knew I had to continue helping people. Now, I have clients on every continent except Antarctica. I've been in and out of Afghanistan for more than 11 years. My husband and 3 kids, ages 13, 18, and 23, stay back home in the U.S., which is its own challenge emotionally. I see them for about 3 months each year. but I'm proud of what I do. It's my mission to give people back their power and their hope. We'll move on now to the beautiful section of the magazine. And we have a picture here of a perfume bottle. And something I've noticed in describing these in the past few months, kind of the new trend in cosmetics packaging seems to be bottles that look a lot like the kinds of bottles you'd see on a shelf in a lab. They're round and clear, and they have small lids. And then they have labels that look a bit like a pre-printed label with lines to either write in or type in contents. And this one has a pink liquid. This is a perfume, and it's called Replica. Amour, please. If falling in love had a scent, Maison Margiela Fragrances Replica Springtime in a Park, $126, could be it. The aroma of fresh-cut flowers, like a gift from your sweetheart, blends with pear, bergamot, and black currant, and is finished with woody notes and musk, his scent lingering on the pillow. Isn't it romantic? And on the next page, inside the beauty closet, oh, beauty director Brian Underwood handpicks his favorite new finds. And we have about 8 or 10 items here. Up at the top of the page, they have spilled some red nail polish. So we have this puddle being pictured here. And there is a small rectangular bottle with a wide white top. So the whole thing creates a rectangle. Nailed It is the heading. Polish isn't exactly known for its nature-loving goodness, yet all shades of the new 10-plus free collection are 85% naturally derived and formulated without 16 potentially toxic chemicals. But do they wear well? We tried one and confirmed that it stays chip-free just as long as traditional formulas, without the list of scary-sounding ingredients. The picture, the color pictured here is hibiscus, so this is 10-plus free nail polish, $18, and go to 10freechemistry.com, and that would be the number 1 and 0, and then free chemistry spelled out. The next item, rest in a jar. Whether you're perpetually exhausted, like the parent of a young child, or just generally sleep deprived, an eye cream that helps fade dark circles is key. Here's my new go-to, says Brian. Rodin Oleo Lasso Luxury Illuminating Eye Cream, $60. And it's in a short little clear glass pot with a white top and a white label. Glow On is the next item. Brightening Protective Vitamin C is a proven skincare hero. I use it every morning. This serum also has anti-inflammatory niacinamide. And it's Olay Tone Perfections Serum, and it's in a little gray plastic pump bottle. And it is $29 at Olay.com. Next, Smooth Moves. For those who want to keep frizz and flyaways in check, this cream gets the job done with African coconut oil and cocoa butter. Garnier Whole Blends Smooth Coconut Oil and Cocoa Butter Leave-In Conditioner, $7 at drugstores. And it's in kind of a milk chocolatey brown plastic bottle with an apricot-colored top. Next, All About That Base. And we've got a puddle of makeup base being pictured here next to the tube of makeup. If you like your makeup with a side of skin-boosting antioxidants, then one of the 32 shades of the Seamless Medium Coverage Foundation is for you. Bite Beauty Changemaker Supercharged Micellar Foundation in M75, $39.50 at bitebeauty.com. And next, Cream of the Crop. In my opinion, there are far too many snake oil skincare products that promise the world but deliver diddly. The new brand from New York City cosmetic dermatologist Howard Sobel, MD, is the opposite. It features some of the highest concentrations of tried and true topicals, like this 4.5% retinol cream. I've never received so many compliments on my skin. Sobel Skin RX 4.5% Retinol Night Treatment, $105 at Sephora.com. And it's in a little white pump bottle. Next, lasting impression. In the world according to my mother, a woman should not leave the house without a swipe of lipstick. This bullet has a ridge along the back, creating a unique teardrop shape that never loses its point for a neat, precise application every time. Ma approves. It's in a black tube, and the color shown here, while it's called Temptation, is kind of a nice, soft, but deep coral. Sigma Beauty Infinity Point Lipstick, $25 at sigmabeauty.com. And the final item is Sexy Spritz. One of my favorite perfumers, Frances Krigidian, created this sensual blend of blackberry, cherry, jasmine, and cedarwood. Burberry Her Intense Eau de Parfum, $136 at Macy's.com. And it's in a flask-shaped bottle with the word Burberry embossed in the glass. And the little pump top is offset, and it's on the left side of the top. Let's head back over now to the Live Your Best Life section of the magazine, and we have an item here called My Best Pets. Queer Eye's grooming expert Jonathan Van Ness on his fabulous felines, on how they all met. Jonathan says, a few years ago, my gateway cat, Bug the First, had a midlife crisis and needed a friend. So I brought Harry Larry home from the West Los Angeles Animal Shelter. When Bug the First passed away in 2018, I adopted a rule. If one cat dies, I get two to fill the cat-shaped hole in my heart. That's how I ended up with Bug the Second and Liza, Meow Nelly, from the Kansas City Pet Project. But Bug the Second tragically died last August after falling from a window while I was sleeping, which was the worst day of my life. I couldn't handle the loss, so less than 24 hours later, I got Matilda and Genevieve from the Pennsylvania SPCA. I can't afford to lose another cat because then I'd have five. I need these four to do a solid 15 years. On his next meow mix, Larry is the loudest. He scream meows. He loves to hear himself wail. Matilda is the cuddliest. If you pet her, she falls on her side and wants to be held and scratched. Poor Liza Meow Nelly is a hot mess. She's just always sick, but she does the best she can. Genevieve recently tore into a bag of tortillas and ate about a quarter of them. Her nickname should be Daenerys because she has blonde hair and blue eyes and does whatever she wants. She's a real Khaleesi. And finally, on getting rescued. Cats have given me unconditional love. They can't use you for connections, cheat on you, or give you STDs. There's no drama. They might be stressful in other ways, like when they get diarrhea, but they're generally much better than boyfriends. And to be honest, cats taught me how to take care of myself. When I got Bug the First, I was in the throes of addiction. I was still struggling when I got Harry Larry. I loved them before I loved myself, and it was one of the first times I cared enough about someone to show up for them. They gave me a reason to be home. And now let's go look at a few Valentine-themed items from the Oprah list, the O list, this month. We have some necklaces here. Two are shown. They have these heart-shaped pendants with a pave-looking, well, diamonds or amethysts. Have a heart. Add a sparkle to someone's life, not to mention her little black dress with a double-sided pave charm on an 18-karat gold-plated chain. Icon's faceted ball chains with heart charm, originally $75 each, now 20% off with code Oprah at melindamaria.com. Under the heading Lounge Act, with rainbow heart embroidery, tapered legs, and a roomy top, this is a statement-making sweatsuit, and that statement is, wear me while binging on pizza and Fleabag with friends. They're in a really nice soft gray with little hearts kind of spattered across them. The little embroidered hearts are in red and teal and lavender and black. Mika top and Oakland bottom in a melange gray rainbow hearts from $128 each at railsclothing.com. We have a couple of slides here. A wide about 3-inch patterned strip across the toe of a very flat mid-tan leather sole. One is in red patterned with a big pink heart stitched on top. The other's in black patterned with a white heart. Walking on sunshine. Forget what they said on Game of Thrones. Summer is coming. And when the weather warms up, these playful patterned leather slides will add a sweet touch to shorts and sundresses. Heart slippers, originally $198 per pair, now 20% off with code Oprah at francisvalentine.com. Now, remember the little candy necklaces and bracelets? Well, here we've got stretchy bracelets, much more upscale and adult-like, but stretchy, and they have little tiles that say L-O-V-E, along with multiple colored sort of squarish and rectangular beads and little gold ones inset as well. Wrist Assured is the heading. Designer Roxanne Asulin proves that love is not just another four-letter word. This bracelet is stretchy, jeans-friendly, and very cool. Just Say Love bracelets, originally $110 each, now 20% off with code Oprah, RoxanneAsulin.com. And finally, for $245, a candy dish, which is has this photograph of little candy hearts in lots of colors underneath. A great place to keep your keys. And with that, we've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. We hope you've enjoyed listening. My name is Susan Dellinger, and I'm reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.